सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति। We chant verse 1 to 5, chapter 10. भूय एव महाबाहो भूय एव महाबाहो शृणु मे परमं वचः यस्तेऽहं प्रियमानाय यस्तेऽहं प्रियमानाय वक्ष्यामि हितकाम्यया वक्ष्यामि हितकाम्यया। भूय एव महाबाहो शृणु मे परमं वचः यस्तेऽहं प्रियमानाय वक्ष्यामि हितकाम्यया। न मे विदुःसुरगणाः न मे विदुःसुरगणाः प्रभवं न महर्षयः प्रभवं न महर्षयः। अहमादिर्हि देवानाम् अहमादिर्हि देवानाम् महर्षीणां च सर्वशः महर्षीणां च सर्वशः। न मे विदुःसुरगणाः प्रभवं न महर्षयः अहमादिर्हि देवानां महर्षीणां च सर्वशः। यो मामजमनादिं च यो मामजमनादिं च वेति लोकमहेश्वरं वेति लोकमहेश्वरं असम्मूढस्समर्थेषु असम्मूढस्समर्थेषु सर्वपापैर्प्रमुच्यते सर्वपापैर्प्रमुच्यते। यो मामजमनादिं च वेति लोकमहेश्वरं असम्मूढस्समर्थेषु सर्वपापैर्प्रमुच्यते। बुद्धिर्ज्ञानमसम्मोहः बुद्धिर्ज्ञानमसम्मोहः क्षमा सत्यं दमश्शमः क्षमा सत्यं दमश्शमः। सुखं दुःखं भवो भावः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावः भयं चाभयमेव च भयं चाभयमेव च। बुद्धिर्ज्ञानमसम्मोहः क्षमा सत्यं दमश्शमः सुखं दुःखं भवो भावः भयं चाभयमेव च। अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपोदानं यशो यशः तपोदानं यशो यशः। भवन्ति भावा भूतानां भवन्ति भावा भूतानां मत्त एव पृथग्विदाः मत्त एव पृथग्विदाः। अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः तपोदानं यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां मत्त एव पृथग्विदाः। The 10th chapter is entitled Vibhuti Yoga, the Yoga of Supreme Manifestation of Lord. All Vibhutis in the world is the Vibhuti of the Lord. The perception of a Bhakta is totally different from the perception of a Abhakta. Abhakta views his achievement or achievement through him has his own contribution. Bhakta sees the achievement as the achievement of Bhagwan, the glories of Bhagwan. All glories are attributed to the totality, not to oneself. So here in the first verse, Lord Krishna offers to Arjuna. It is Lord Krishna who starts this chapter. He says, O Mahabaho, O mighty arm, O strong person. Mighty arm means the inner personality is strong. The inner personality will be strong when it is identified with the self, with the subtler layers of the personality. If it is identified with the grosser aspects, it will be weak. That is precisely why the proof that he is a Mahabahu is when the entire army was offered to him by Lord Krishna, he chose Shri Krishna, not the army. That shows that he is strong. A person who chooses quality vis-a-vis quantity shows that from inside he is strong. A person who lacks from within needs to compensate for that lack by amassing stuff from outside. See, you need to compensate, na? What you lack from inside, you need to keep hoarding from outside. A sannyasi is able to give up everything and live. Why? Because his inside is full, paripurna. It's like that. Always when we lack, we will need some support. And all the things that we are holding on to are like support factor for us. You cannot remove the support factor without establishing yourself in knowledge. And when you establish yourself in knowledge, the support factor can be removed. Just like the plant's roots have gone deeper, as a result of which the sticks that were supporting it can be removed. So all we need to understand now is our roots have not strengthened, as a result of which we are hanging on to this external support system. Ultimately, that is not permanent. The support system on which you are relying in itself is temporary and passing. How can you get that absolute security? So he says, "Oh Mahabahu, you are a mighty armed person. You have identified with the self, not with anything else. Therefore, I am going to give you more details of my glory. So listen again." And a person who is identified with the subtler aspect, any number of times he listens to the glory of the Lord, he still wants to hear more. So he says, "Listen again to my supreme word, Paramam Vacha." The word is supreme here because it's talking about the supreme, not about the mundane thing. "Which I will speak." Why will I speak to you? I will speak to you who are delighted. You are interested in listening to it more and more. Your interest is there. I could see it from your personality. Therefore, I am giving it. Why am I giving it? For your welfare. See, there is a beautiful quotation by Aristotle. He says, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." It's a beautiful quotation. He says, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." Repeatedly, the mind has been going towards the world. That mind which has been going towards the world, as a result of which it has developed a value for the world. Hence, through sadhana, you got to see the irrelevance of the world. And when you see the irrelevance of the world, mind turns towards the self within. Or limited relevance of the world. Which is irrelevance. That limited relevance of the world within your mind sees, then it turns towards the self within. And when it turns towards the self within, now you need to repeatedly take the mind towards it so that it gets established there. Otherwise, since the old habit is there, it may again go there. Therefore, he says, "For your welfare," and repeating again the same thing in a different way. For your welfare. Next verse. Name vidusura ganaha, name vidusura ganaha, prabhavam namaharshayaha, prabhavam namaharshayaha, ahamadirhi devanam, ahamadirhi devanam, maharshinam cha sarvashaha, maharshinam cha sarvashaha, name vidusura
ஆசுரகணாஹ பிரபவம் ந மஹர்ஷயஹ அஹமாதிர்ஹி தேவானாம் மஹர்ஷீனாம் ச சர்வஷஹ.
This knowledge which I wanted to give you for your welfare, neither the hosts of gods, the inhabitants of Devaloka, the Deva, the gods and goddesses, nor the great sages, great munis, Suraganaha, Prabhavamna Maharshayaha, neither the Maharishis nor the Deva know my origin. The source of all beings is me, and that is not known by the products. However subtler the product may be, subtler than them is the source. It's like, in modern context it's slightly different, but general context I hope you understand. The son was not present in the parents' wedding. Right. Modern context, we can't give you an example. It's a different story altogether. So, it's like that. The product is gross compared to the producer. The source is not known even by the Maharishis or the Devas. Therefore, in a way, he's trying to say, listening, you try to bring about a transformation rather than trying to capture it through the intellectual understanding. Because if you try to understand, please understand, even Maharishis have not understood. Even Devas cannot know. So there is no point becoming a Deva or a Maharishi. All you need to do is dissolve. The moment you dissolve, you become me. But if you try to keep your individuality and try to understand, you will never understand. This is the whole thing. So in other words, see, the words of all the rishis, all the masters, the yogis are very interesting. You may try to hold on to the words, but they keep on advising you not to get stuck with the words, because it's very, what do you call, mystic. They are telling, he is very clearly telling, neither the hosts of gods, including Brahmaji, doesn't know my origin. Period. Meaning what? They do not know the self. Self is not an object of comprehension, it is a subjective apprehension. The moment you say, yes, I have understood, Upanishad says, what you have understood is not God, what makes you understand is God. So in other words, the student goes to the guru and says, is this God? Neti, neti. Immediately he says neti. Why? Because you have tried to understand God. Any understanding is at intellectual level. You got to go beyond the intellect. You got to cross the intellect. So he says, neither the hosts of gods nor the great sages know my origin. For in all respects, I am the source of all the gods and the great sages. The product cannot understand the source. It can dissolve itself, then it can understand. In fact, everything has evolved from me. In other words, the best way to understand this is through the example of waker and dreamer. The entire dream world has come out of the waker's mind. Waker's mind is the source for the entire dream world. So the dream subject, the subject in the dream can never understand the waker's mind. Are you with me? The subject in the dream can never understand the waker's mind. The subject in the dream has to dissolve and become the waker. So listening to these lectures is to dissolve our ego, not to gather more information. Information only makes our ego swell more. So that is why the sign of knowledge is always humility. Then you have got real knowledge. Like Einstein said, what is my knowledge compared to my ignorance? The more you know intellectually, the more egoistic you become. So here he is saying, even the gods and goddesses and the sages have not known me.
Let not this information burden your head. Don't get yourself into that ego trip. Dissolve the ego with bhakti. So this is the source. Never try to attempt to understand God. The more you try to understand God, the more you will go far away from God. So nobody knows. The moment you try to know, you are trying to keep yourself. In other words, dreamer is trying to keep himself and then trying to understand waker. Can he understand? He can only dissolve him and become a waker. So the Vedantic knowledge is compared in Shastra to Simha in the Swapna. Simha means lion and Swapna means dream. Vedanta also is part of the dream. By understanding Vedanta intellectually, don't think you have understood God. Vedanta is compared to Swapna Simha. They say it's like Swapna Simha. Swapna Simha Vastra. It's like a dream. I'm sorry, like a dream line. Line in the dream. What it means is, when the line appears in the dream, that's also part of the dream. Like so many objects and beings appeared in the dream, lion appears in the dream. But what does the lion do when it appears in the dream? It frightens you and wakes you up. What do you mean? So the moment you start studying Vedanta and reflecting on Vedanta, it will pull the carpet under your feet. Slowly, slowly, you will start seeing the insignificance of the ego. Slowly, slowly, the delusion that you are separate from the total will be pulverized. As the thing crushes, suddenly it frightens you. You wake up and you realize this. So nobody knows me. No one can intellectually know me. Only I know myself. I am the source. Identify with the source and function. Don't get into this ego trip. Next. Yoma madamana dimcha, yoma madamana dimcha, veti loka maheshwaram, veti loka maheshwaram, asam mudasa marteshu, asam mudasa marteshu, sarva papai pramuchyate, yoma madamana dimcha, veti loka maheshwaram, asam mudasa marteshu, sarva papai. He who knows me as unborn, Aja, I am not born when the waves are born. The ocean is not born when the waves are born. Similarly, when the waves die, the ocean doesn't die. In other words, he's trying to say, it is foolish to think that waves are separate from me. I am not born. I have no birth date, no birth certificate, no birth date, nothing. Aham Ajam. Mam Ajam. Ajam means unborn. He who knows me as unborn. Who knows me as unborn means he who knows the self as unborn. When Madhushri is born, self is not born. When Anu is born, self is not born. It is the expression of the self. So, beginningless. Why am I not born? I am the cause which has no cause. I am the causeless cause.
and the Supreme Lord of the world. And even when the manifestations, the world has come about, the self is a witness to these manifestations. The world is nothing but law of causation, functionings of various laws, but the self doesn't come under the laws. Self is just a witness to the entire manifestation. He who knows me as unborn, beginningless, the Supreme Lord of the world, he also remains a witness. He also is undeluded. Now the question is coming in many of us, why do we have to study about all these things? You have to study about all these things to remain a witness to all the manifestations which happens through you and in front of you. You get involved. You don't get involved only in the wrong negative things. You also get involved in some of the good activities. So many people are suffering. I have to, you know, make them come out of their suffering. Vedanta is not saying don't be compassionate and help them to come out of their suffering. But that thing that I will do, meaning you are getting involved. You are not, you are deluded. You are seeing this world as separate from divinity. You are not able to see this world as a manifestation of God, as karma functioning. You are getting deluded. You got to remain undeluded. So he says, he who knows me as unborn, he who understands the self within as unborn. Why the self is unborn? Because it is beginningless. It has no adi, anadi. Adi means beginning. It's anadi means it has no beginning. This world also is anadi in a way. Right? It's just an imagination. If you go deeply, you understand that this world also is anadi. Therefore Vedanta says, since it's anadi, why it's anadi? Because it's never born only. It's in your sense. It's the interpretation of your sense. You take away the sense, one fifth of the world, like for example, if you take away your eyes, one fifth of the world is gone. What you say as world is there for you because of your senses. One fifth is removed. The eyes are removed. That one fifth of the world is gone. Like that, if you remove all the five senses, there won't be any world for you. So, anadi, it is beginningless. Self is beginningless. And due to the ignorance of the self, you have projected the world. Even when the world is projected, the supreme world, the entire manifestation, I am the Lord. No doubt, the self is expressed through the senses and you projected this world. But even when the world is projected, the self in the combination in you is still remaining as a witness. But by studying the scriptures, you will start understanding the depth of the self, as a result of which you will also start slowly becoming a witness. To the extent you start becoming a sakshi, to that extent you are understanding Gita. Are you able to remain a sakshi to the, all the good things and the bad things that is going around you, including within? Why these negative thoughts are coming in me? Very well. This is tamasha going on. Coming up and going. Coming up and going. Remain undeluded. He who undeluded among mortals is liberated of all sins, of all agitations, of all vasana, by remaining a witness to the entire manifestation drama that unfolds around you. Understand that this is the play of senses, gunas. When I understand that, I don't get involved. I remain undeluded. See, the fraction of moment I get deluded, the moment I get deluded, then I start doing hurrying and worrying and start doing everything. Then I create more and more vasanas, which is potential agitation, sin. I do punya and pava activities. So sin here also means punya, which keeps me bound to the world again. You need to pause and see the truth. In a fraction of a second, the desire comes, you see the object, the push from within and the pull from without, you get deluded. It requires tremendous tapas for you not to get involved at that time and to be able to remain a witness, sakshi, to see how this happens. Then you do not want to. Then you say, hey, why am I unnecessarily killing myself? See, there's a tremendous force from inside, desire, life, right? And the object of the desire comes. In a fraction of a second, you get involved. That is why we say, keep doing sadhana, keep doing tapas, and develop this ability to remain a sakshi. When you see that, it's all the play of vasanas and the senses, with the sense objects outside. Thereafter, you don't create any further vasanas. You just rush. You are in a hurry. You rush. That's why we say, Vedanta is not for a person who is in a hurry. Let him run. The day he understands the meaninglessness of running, the beautiful example Swamiji gives in the book Vedanta Traders, the very beginning portion of the business. He says, people are trying to run after the shadows, trying to catch over the head of the shadow. You learn from Jesus. He says, instead, you touch your head, where you have touched your shadow's head. But this in reference to, with reference to life, one needs to understand this. I am trying to catch hold of the head of my shadow. When I am running after the objects of pleasure in this world, that recognition has to come. In fact, only when that recognition comes, your Vedanta begins. Till then, no. Till then, the same word has not made you go inside. But the day you see that, all this becomes tremendous. When you go to a house where somebody is dead, of course everybody is sad and all that. Then when the cremation is over, you continue to stay in the house. Slowly the discussion starts. Where all the investments the person has done, who all have been put as nominee, what amount of jewelry have been left behind, all that you from your angle now, you are also collecting so much. It is so meaningful to you. It is the end all and be all of life to you. You don't see it with reference to your own life. You see it there. That person is concerned, it was all non-essential that he or she had collected. The beautiful poem called Tons, where the sun doesn't listen to the father, so the father shouts at the son. And the son is upset and is crying and goes to the bed and sleeps as he's crying. After the bed, the father feels very sad, very bad, and then he gave this to his son. He goes to his son's room. There the son has already gone to sleep, but his tear marks are there on his cheeks. And on his bed there are a few pebbles, broken conch, all sorts of things, useless, frivolous things. The boy finally concludes. Looking at that, the father says, "What toys makes our joy?" Like the son has collected all the broken things that, you know, is all useless. To him, it's all playthings. Like that, we are also collecting many things. All that you collect for your day-to-day living transaction is different. But beyond that, you collect and keep, collect, collect, collect. So he's saying, here, you're getting deluded. You're running. Why? Because you don't see this play of push and pull that's happening from within. You don't see yourself as unborn. You are identified with this surface. You do not want to die. So you think all these things that you are collecting would save you. So much. So he said, "I am Ajahn, I am born. You have to see that." Anybody who sees that with reference to their life, not only in the text, giving one big lecture on what is Ajahn, when you are able to see that, this is just a manifestation. Everything is manifestation. The froth and the foam and the waves, big or small, in the ocean, they are all manifestations of the daily emotion. When I see that, then I don't get involved. Oh, some people are suffering, some people are, why are some people born in opulence? Why are some people born in poverty? You don't get involved, you don't get agitated. You will do whatever best you can. You will not go and give them a lecture. You are born in poverty because of your karma. You are admitted in hospital because of your karma, which is true. But you don't tell them that, but you understand. As a witness, you work compassionately. Otherwise you are deluded. Everybody is deluded in their own way. A selfish person is equally deluded. Unselfish person is equally deluded. Everybody is deluded. A Vedantin stands apart, undeluded. He does what has to be done, but stands apart. Swami Ramtirtha says, reforming the world is like straightening a dog's tail. He doesn't say, don't reform the world. But understand, like Jesus Christ said, iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of it. You don't be the cause of it. You don't create, due to your involvement, the iniquity. By taking more than what is necessary for you, you create the iniquity. Don't do that. You only take that much that you deserve, that is needed for you. So you will not be the cause of iniquity. But understand, iniquity will be there. It's all part of drama. You refuse to get involved in it. Try and organize a small function, Bhagavad Gita lecture or Bhagavata Saptaha, 7 days,
See how your ego slowly gets involved in that.
I organized Bhagavad Saptaham, called all my friends, nobody came. Is this friendship? At least for my sake, there is a problem.
You understand? I'm not talking about organizing something, party or something. Even good things, you slowly get deluded.
So Ramakrishna says, reforming the world is like straightening a dog's tail. It keeps on rolling back. The moment you leave it, it goes back. So, this is how it is. The self expresses through the senses. Like light refracted through the prism. Comes out as 7 vajjaric colors. Light per se is colorless. But when the light passes through the prism, the 7 vajjaric color comes. Now, this is happening in you and you are not seeing it. Therefore, you got lost in the 7 vajjaric colors. I like this, I dislike this, yay, woe. This is superior, that is inferior, this is better, that is another thing. You get lost. And deluded, you got to remain. You are constantly in delusion. To be able to see that I am deluded is the first step to come out of delusion. If you see that you are deluded, you are not deluded. One who is deluded doesn't know that he is deluded. So when you read the scriptures talk about this and say the self is ajam, anadi. It is not born. Everything is born due to a cause. Everything in the universe is cause and effect, relationship. There is no cause to the self. Self is the cause of everything. It is uncaused cause. It is beginningless. Beginningless means what? It has always been in existence. Mind with reference to dream has always been in existence. The dream has just surfaced. The beginning is eternal. In that eternal self, this projection has come out. And in this projection, we are all deluded according to our own mother. Tamasic fellows deluded in Tamasic environment. Rajasic fellows deluded in Rajasic environment. Sattvic fellows deluded in Sattvic environment. And predict the very vilas of people. It's another kind of delusion. Do whatever you have to do. Continue in this manifestation. Remain as such. An undeluded person will see all the characters, whether they are good or bad, from the pure to the impure, all characteristics as manifesting from the self alone, which is what he said in the next verse. Buddhir jnanama sammohaha, buddhir jnanama sammohaha, kshama satyam damashyamaha, kshama satyam damashyamaha, sukam dukkam bhavo bhavaha, sukam dukkam bhavo bhavaha, bhayam cha bhayam eva cha, bhayam cha bhayam eva cha, buddhir jnanama sammohaha, kshama satyam damashyamaha, sukam dukkam bhavo భావః భయం చ భయమేవ చ అహింసా సమతా తుష్టిః అహింసా సమతా తుష్టిః తపోదానం యశో యశః తపోదానం యశో యశః భవంతి భావా భూతానాం భవంతి భావా భూతానాం మత్త ఏవ కృతగ్విదాః మత్త ఏవ కృతగ్విదాః అహింసా సమతా తుష్టిః తపోదానం యశో యశః భవంతి భావా భూతానాం మత్త ఏవ కృతగ్విదాః. భయం అభయం, ఫియర్ ఫియర్లెస్నెస్, అహింస నాన్ ఇంజరీ, సమత ఈక్వానిమిటీ, తుష్టి కంటెంట్మెంట్, తపస్, కాన్షియస్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ కన్సర్వింగ్ ఎనర్జీ అండ్ గెటింగ్ డిసిపేటెడ్ ఇన్ ద లోవర్ ఛానల్ డైరెక్టింగ్ ఇట్ టువర్డ్స్ ది హయర్. ఆస్టెరిటీ, తపస్ మీన్స్ ఆస్టెరిటీ. దానం, చారిటీ, బెనివలెంట్ యాటిట్యూడ్, యశ యశోయశ, ఫేమ్ అండ్ ఇన్ఫేమ్, different kinds of characteristics of being the right from the yellow. See, that's why I give you that example. In the pure light, there is no color. But when pure light hits the prism, seven vibhyaric colors come. So in other words, all the qualities when you see, any qualities that you see manifest anywhere, if you understand these words, what will happen? You will be reminded of the self which is beyond all these characteristics. But today, we get involved in the various characteristics. He's a very good man. He's a very bad man. I do not want to do anything with him. Look at him what? Mentally. If you understand these verses, extreme clarity you see, how would you look at it? The glory of the Lord in full force. Extreme clarity person. How would you see? Glory of the Lord with maximum covering. So, when the same coverings are removed, the buddhi shines. So in a dull headed also the self is there. In the clear headed also the self is there. In the clear headed, the covering is removed. Buddhi. Clarity. Why he has clarity? Desires are removed. The avarna, nikshepa, ignorance and agitations are removed. He has tremendous clarity. Knowledge, all knowledge, especially he's talking about Atma Jnana, but it could include all knowledge. And the pure consciousness has no knowledge, no ignorance. Pure consciousness is beyond knowledge and ignorance. But when the thought strikes the pure consciousness, you become aware. You say, I know. So all knowledge comes out of pure consciousness only. Non-delusion, asammoha. Sammoha means delusion. Established in delusion. Asammoha. Asammoha is seeing through the sense interpretation and seeing the reality. Moha comes when we see through the sense lens. Isn't it? You hate somebody, and when you come to know that he is your own son, suddenly you start loving the fellow. How did this happen? From hatred, it is turned to so-called love. You wrongly thought about somebody as a guest who should have come to your house. You take him from the airport with a wrong guest, thinking that you are taking a right guest. How much you pamper the fellow? Suddenly when you come to know it's a different guy, whole attitude changes. See, the sense interpretation is moha. The ability to stand apart from sense, let the sense interpret what it wants. You penetrate through that interpretation and come to the conclusion. All objectives are delusion. What appears to your eyes has not so beautiful appearance to somebody else's eyes as beautiful. It is your conditioning. Asammoha. The self in its purest form slowly turns into little impure. All is me.
Like Mampaji was saying, oh, when she went for this recent mountaineering trip, even when you went, as you keep on climbing higher and higher, pure, fresh air, fresh water, everything you start experiencing. Slowly you come down again, dirt. Same thing is happening. When you go closer and closer to the self, pure qualities. Move far away from the self. Pure qualities. Water far away from the sun becomes light. Water gets closer and closer to the sun becomes vapor. Liquid and vapor. It becomes invisible. So when a person gets closer and closer to the self, what happens? He functions without making his presence known. He's become a vapor. Go far away from the self. Become so solidified like snow, like ice. I am doing ego. So what is ego? Same self, it has gone far away. So the more the ego fear, less the ego no fear.
Bhayam abhayam.
A labor leader walking into the management room addresses the directors with such conviction. Why? He's identified with the entire company labor, asking for something that they require to be able to perform better for the company. It's rainy day, so you give us raincoat or something like that. But he's dissolved his ego with a larger group, so he is able to talk with that conviction, no fear. Isn't it? Same labor leader, after 2-3 weeks, goes into the management again, but he's not talking with the same authority. Why? He's now gone to ask for a job for his son. My son has passed engineering. Could you please help him to get a job in our company only? Fear. Selfishness. So understand when he says, Bhaya Abhaya, Sukha Dukkha. All these are different kinds of characteristics of beings arise from me only. Those who get closer and closer to the self, abhaya, get far away from the self, ego is so consolidated, therefore bhaya. What is ego? As long as there is ego, there is fear. Because ego is nothing but a sense of separateness. Isn't it? When you go to another country, you feel separate. Fear, my God, what is going to happen to me? You land, the flight lands in your country. Suddenly you become fearless. Standing in the queue, immigration queue. When you experience that, it's an amazing thing. Because you are in a different land, especially when you travel to certain countries, right? You don't know if the other fellow has come to receive you, not come to receive you, you don't know anything there, what is going to happen?
This happened to me. I was coming back from Nairobi and my husband passed the immigration and my passport was there, suddenly the system shut down. They're putting some new computer system. They shut down and for 15-20 minutes I was standing there because they said, it's okay, you stand there. And I'm calling my husband and he's waiting there. Because there's all the stories over to hear. Nairobi uthaake jail mein dal dete, ye wo, everything came and I got so scared. For those 15 minutes till I crossed. So, very true. When you're in different land, you don't know what will happen.
The sense of separation. Immediately fear comes. Sense of oneness, no fear. Fear comes due to otherness. When I am identifying with the surface of my personality, the superficial layers of my personality, the body, when I look at the other person from the level of my body, it's different. When I go little emotional, we are all Vedantins. The body may be different. Maybe from different parts of India, but we all belong to the same Vedanta. You understand? Little fearless. Go much deeper to the self. No fear. So the characteristics depends on the broad frequency closest to the self to the Father. So different characteristics that you see in people is nothing but what? Someone who has got closer to the self, someone who has got far away from the self. Why do we call Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi as Mahatma? Because he got closer to the self. The closest is the real Mahatma who reached the self. Thereafter, there is nothing that they want to keep for themselves. So all the variety of characteristics, buddhi, clarity, knowledge, non-illusion, forgiveness,
forgiveness is explained by Mark Twain as the fragrance that is released by the flower violet as the fruit crushes. Forgiveness is a fragrance a violet releases as the fruit crushes. Because you see the fruit crushing as an act of ignorance. When you see the fruit crushing as an act of ignorance, you still, you can only give what you have. How much ever somebody crushes you, if you are filled with fragrance, you only give fragrance. The violet is filled with fragrance. So when you get closer and closer to the self, you have sugandha. Go far away from the self, you have dugandha. So forgiveness is not something that comes from the head, where you say, I'm far above, I forgive you. Not from that sense.
It's a natural thing that comes as a result of your identification with the self. So this bandwidth you can clear, and then it is satyam, truth. The conviction in truth increases. You will live up to your conviction and conscience, not about the dictations of the world. No more bother what the world thinks. You go by the truth. And then control over senses and mind. So when you're withdrawn and your awareness increases, the control over senses and mind becomes more. As you start losing awareness, you start losing your control over your senses and mind. So Dhamma and Shama. That's why I said the bandwidth closes all high qualities. Little far, negative qualities. Existence, non-existence, joy and sorrow. The self is that which is behind the joy and sorrow. The fact that you are able to experience joy and sorrow, be conscious of joy, be conscious of sorrow, is because the consciousness is enlivening your experiences. Existence and non-existence. That which exists now, that which existed in the past which is not existing now, that which will exist in the future which is not existing now, all these are nothing but the characteristics that emanate from the self only. Fear and fearlessness. Non-injury, ahimsa. Violence surfaces in a person. You need to ask this question to yourself, why does a person become violent? Because he is insecure. A gross form of violence that you see in people.
They don't have any control on their temper when people get violent. They can't control themselves.
Extreme selfishness. There are people who are extremely violent to others. See, Lord Buddha says, what is the difference between like and love? He says, when you like a flower, you will pluck it from the plant. When you love the flower, you will water the plant. That is the difference. Plucking the flower from the plant is a violent act. Isn't it? Watering the plant is a non-violent act. You feel so unsafe, insecure from within. You pluck, you become violent. More and more secure you become from within. You water the plants. Wanting to keep from myself, that whole thing is violent. It's not just external action. We understand it that way. Because other activities we've done it many times. Hinsa. Okay, I'm an ahimsic person because I'm a vegetarian. But you will eat vegetarian food so violently. Tendency to grab. Still is violent.
So see, you know the example that you gave of the flower and violence and how that's really about insecurity. Don't you think sometimes violence is also about self-preservation, like in weak people?
Don't you think what?
Also about self-preservation or hitting back because defensive. Like you see and hear and meet so many people who not have happy childhood or...
That's what I'm saying.
You've been thinking of the pickup. Yeah, but you know, like, so many times it's giving back what you have received. Because
yes.
That's all you know.
Yes.
You know.
And accepting that. We are not saying anything. But how is a person able to be practicing ahimsa? Because he's seeing how everybody is being carried by one particular hand. You see, whether you take the luggage on your head or keep it on the recall camera. Yeah, when you're traveling, you keep it on the luggage.
The carrier.
Or you carry it on the head. The transport only is carrying that. Whether you keep it on your head or keep it in the carrier. You and me. Exactly like that. When you find that ultimate bottom, the trust, you will not be violent. Otherwise, I have to, you know, grab it. You let it be there, man. No, you want it to be in your prayer room. Decorating your Bhagwan. When it is in the garden, it is decorating the Bhagwan. No. I want to pluck it so that all I want to do is decorate my Bhagwan. The mind, when it goes on expanding, 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 violence reduces. The mind, when it shrinks, violence increases. Violence increases when the mind shrinks.
When the mind shrinks, the violence will
shrinks means it becomes, mind shrinks, it becomes small. Small mind.
Is that with my needs? Everybody is included in that sentence. Then I see others as obligation. My God versus your God. To be able to not even have the fear that the others can cause injury to you is a level of unbalance. It's not being stupid. You know, in the second chapter we study, Nainam Chindanti Shastrani, Nainam Dahati Pavakaha, Nachainam Kedayati Abha, Nasho Shatri Namaha. What it means is, weapons do not kill me, fire does not burn me, water does not wet me, wind does not blow me. Wind does not blow the Atma. Fire does not burn the Atma. Weapons do not cleave the Atma. Water does not wet the Atma. When I understand that, the other person, however much he may try to destroy me, he cannot touch me. When I understand that, I can never be violent. But somewhere at the grass level, I have identified which can be touched by the other person, then there is this thing for me to react. Spoiling my reputation, he has not touched me when I know that. Why will I have any violent feelings to anybody? People spend their whole life scheming and planning to spoil somebody else's reputation. Wasting their time. Why? Because they are ignorant. If you are knowledgeable, he says, spoiling my reputation, he has not touched me at all. He has come up to the level of others' intellectual opinion about me. But I am totally detached from that. I know who I am. So why will I be violent? You understand? Ahimsa, equanimity, samatha. In all situations, he remains equanimous. Good, bad, ugly situations. Contented with what one has at all times. Austerity. See, the sign of a spiritual person is austerity. Go to the mandir. It's not as if you are a very busy person. Or even if you are a busy person, it's not as if that day you are busy. So go to the mandir. The two queues. Three queue, payment. Quickly your mind reacts. Let me pay and go. You do not want to do that little bit of stuff. Maybe the crowd is not so much also. Another half an hour it may take. You just can pay. So you pay and you want to go in. Little tougher you do not want to do. You always want to get into that shortcut, you know. Come home and then probably, I don't know what you are doing. Sleeping or doing something else. Even when you go to see Bhagavan, you do not want to do those. Charity. தானம், ஃபர்கிவ்னஸ், அஹிம்சா, சத்தியம், தீஸ் ஆர் ஆல் எசென்சியல் கேரக்டரிஸ்டிக்ஸ் ஆஃப் அ ஸ்பிரிச்சுவலி இவால்வ்ட் பர்சன். ஹி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் தட் மெட்டீரியல் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் இஸ் ஆஃப் த நேச்சர் ஆஃப் பாசிங் அண்ட் ஃபிளீட்டிங். So he keeps on passing it on. He doesn't try to hold it. And he also knows what goes around comes around. And nothing is mine. He doesn't try to grab. Anything grabbed stays put and petrifies. Anything that keeps on passing around remains fresh. So dhana is an outcome in a person who's got this understanding. You know, it's not that he's forcefully doing dhana. Now this Navratra has started. So many places you'll see people on the road cooking and distributing food. Half of the road they have taken away. In the name of doing dhanam. Isn't it? And then they will destroy the whole environment with lots of dirt, garbage. In the name of dhanam. See, as the ego shrinks, this naturally happens. Forgiveness, dhanam, fearlessness, all this, as the ego consolidates, solidifies, dhanam will be a farce. If at all if it happens, it will be a farce. And infamy, yasho yasha, how do you understand fame and infamy? No, when he says the characteristics of fame and infamy, both are emanating from me. When you dissolve your ego and function, your actions make you famous. When you hold on to your ego and function, your actions make you infamous. Same thing. Getting closer to the self, far away from the self. Different characteristics emanate from me only. The refracted light has various majoric colors. Light per se has no color. From pure consciousness only, all characteristics has come. So when you understand these verses, any characteristic you see, it becomes an opportunity for a worship. Why? If it is violet, it comes from pure light. Indigo, pure light. Blue, green, yellow, orange, red, it comes from colorless light. So when I see any characteristics, what am I identifying with? Now, violet, he's a bad fellow, you have to be careful with him, you understand? Now when you understand these verses, violet I am seeing, you shift the focus from violet to the source. See, the whole idea of a Mahatma is to shift your focus. That is why he is giving all these verses. People get involved in the verses. Why is he saying this? Why is he saying that? Get involved. That's not his idea. His idea is, see, all these characteristics come from me. So when you understand this, any characteristics you see, you will shift your attention from that characteristics to the source. The moment you shift to the source, you realize it. Instantly it can happen. As you are studying 10th standard, 10th verse, not 10th standard, 10th chapter, you can realize the self. Otherwise, 10th chapter you are trying to understand. Then you want to understand 11th chapter, 12th, nothing will happen. Again, second cycle you will wait. When is you going to start first chapter again? Simple, see this. Sukham, dukkham has emanated from me. So when sukham comes also, you will shift your attention to the source. Dukkham comes also, you will shift your attention. So in all, at all times, you will be able to be reminded of the divinity. The whole idea of Krishna is to shift your attention to the source. The moment you shift your attention to the source, you realize the entire spirituality is shifting the mind attention from the world to Bhagavan. So it's a technique that Krishna is following when he talks about the glories of God. Then you don't get involved in any glory or fame or infamy, you don't get involved. You identify with the self. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Narayanayeti samarpayami.